me.
No grass is burned despite thousands of gallons of jet fuel that would have aboard. There's no plane debris, bodies, blood. We're missing all kinds of evidence. No witnesses to the alleged crash. The cell phone calls are impossible. Fake dialogue. Hello, Mom. This is your son, Mark Bingham. Mark Bingham. You remember me. cockpit voice recorder or flight data recorder are available to the public. That's at all four events. The shoot-down stories, I believe, are a distraction. There's no evidence for them, so therefore I consider it a nullity, an arbitrary claim, unless you give me some evidence. FBI destroyed evidence. They filled up the hole right away and cut down some trees there in the woods nearby because they were singed. And they saved us a lot of money because they did, there's no comprehensive crash investigation as required. Okay, so flight 93, where is your plane debris? There you got an aerial shot of the wing imprint story, but no wings. You've got people wandering around in this hole, and there's no plane debris. There's a little closer up of that same photo. This is recently revealed as, oh, there's the real plane. Yeah, stuck his nose in there. I don't know who hooked that up. Rosalie would probably know, but that's good. Maybe it was Killtown. I don't know. Somebody should get credit for that. Okay, now here's a real plane crash, 1994 B-52 heavy bomber. Did you see that right wing? It's gonna
get you.
You can hit some steel cable, we'll see later, or a telephone pole, or a tree. Watch this thing again. Oh, I should get that out of there. Apparently this is a real hot shot trying to make this B-52 do tricks for an air show, and it couldn't do quite the tricks planned.
I was wondering why the
camera's convenient there. Now, there are about a dozen or so real crash pictures on the internet, and then this is one of them. Look at that thing fall apart. You know, these aluminum planes are not built to crash into a lot of material. Okay, well, let's go to the real hot issue, the real controversy, and that is, I'd say, plane fact number three, no plane crash at the World Trade Center. As mentioned earlier by Jim, really this is a taboo subject. I can remember early on Jim Hoffman saying, you could have been so great, you know, but now you're not, and you're trying to confuse the public, etc. So I say it's taboo according to gatekeepers, ops, ignoramuses, who are convertible, I think, by reason and evidence. Yet no such crashes could have occurred as depicted because the physics are impossible. And I'm going to spend a little more time on that proposition. 9/11 was a hoax, remember, folks? Yet a majority seemed to reason, well, the government media lied to me about A, B, C, but not D. I wouldn't question D. And anybody who goes there, bad person. I saw it on TV, and millions, tens of millions saw it on TV. Now, Hoax Central, I claim, is the plane fraud. I was flying up to Seattle back in October on a 767 Boeing, and I was over the wing, so as we came into Seattle, I was watching this ballet of panels and flaps and actuators moving things. It's quite an amazing engineering display, and I noticed all over that wing was the marking no step.
Don't step here, 200 pound man. And I said, gee, I don't remember that. An aluminum airliner cannot, quote, disappear, unquote, into a heavy steel concrete tower. Well, they showed us that on TV, but in reality, it can't be done. The plane was smashed to pieces, crumpled at the wall, and I'm going to pass around in the audience, so you all, by the time this is over, get a chance. I went down to the hardware and building store. I got some aluminum. This is a 3/4 inch aluminum tube, and the aluminum, it measures, the thickness is 1/16 of an inch. That's slightly thinner than an aluminum skin on an airplane, which is 1/13 of an inch. But it'll give you a feel. Now, furthermore, I brought my sledgehammer. And you all pass it around. This is 9.5 pounds. There's a little bit of wood, I suppose, half a pound or a pound, but the rest is just steel. You get me up on an airplane, 767 or whatever, and is that plane going to be flyable after I had it for 15 minutes? I'm just going to wail on that sucker, 9 pounds of steel, unflyable.
Here you go.
Show and tell. Otherwise, this gets too abstract. Steel and aluminum. Feel some steel in your hand. Feel some aluminum. Okay, so the plane, an aluminum plane, has got to just shatter, crumple, and go to pieces when it encounters a tower. We didn't see that. And every video is completely fake, especially the ones that are showing penetration in the South Tower. Now, the steel walls, floors, cores offer no resistance. Right. The plane does not decelerate. We can prove that, even though it's disputed. That's an absurd violation of Newton's first law of motion. No plane debris below the impact zone. There's no evidence of plane debris below the impact zone. No plane debris visible in the gashes. And these planes, at 767 is 159 feet long, and a length of the side of the tower is 208 feet. So it's over 3/4 the length of a side of a tower. The plane, the holes are undersized, they're obstructed. The plane-shaped holes, the silhouettes of passage are impossible, plus it's contrary minimally to the Pentagon. Video fakery. Run any WTC-2 penetration video frame by frame, and you'll see that no crash occurs. Rather, the building absorbs this plane image. Now, the smoke from both WTC hits, also, Kiltown points out, is too gray. It's not black charcoal enough like I showed you with the B-52 crash, or you're going to see another crash of an Airbus 320. Airliner, you'll see how black the fireball is. The building heals itself up during penetration, right? There's a frame or two where the plane disappears and then the explosion starts. This WTC-2 image shows the plane turning left, banking 38 degrees, and yet there's a flush hit, allegedly, right? Perpendicular. But the wrecking ball, which is the tower, would hit the left wing and engine first because it's turning left into the building. And that would spin the plane counterclockwise, flip that tail section off toward the east and northeast. Now here's my favorite picture or frame of the CNN broadcast. And that is, as many other no-planers have pointed out here, well, first of all, you got this missing horizontal stabilizer at the tail. But the most interesting feature of this plane, just completely intact, absorbed by the building, there's no hole here between that left engine and the fuselage, and there's no wing visible either. Yeah, I got a problem with that. Now, furthermore, in terms of these impossible physics, you have an invincible plane upon entry, yet it's fragile inside the tower, so the plane must change physical characteristics. Another point is that in an interview with John Lear, son of the famous Lear airplane entrepreneur, in the interview with the, pilots from 9/11truth.org, the interviewer volunteered that morning in 9/11, two experienced airline pilots on flight simulators couldn't hit the towers if they were going 500 miles an hour in six attempts. So it's a fairly narrow, when you're, I know I've been on a motorcycle going 145 miles an hour, and, things are happening fast. You gotta make a lot of decisions. If you're a NASCAR, you're going 200 miles an hour, things are going. They are really speeded up. I know this is fairly obvious, but we're talking 9/11 confusion. The first duty of a scientist is point out the obvious. And then, finally, I'm not convinced the 767 can fly at NIST claims 542 miles an hour because of the resistance, the drag increases with the square of speed. Yeah, can these planes, I don't know. I can't get a good answer from a real expert. Well, how strong are planes anyway? Do airplanes have crash test ratings? No. Should you fly only a 5-star crash test plane? How about only steel planes? Planes don't have these ratings because they are fall apart fragile. Duh. Democracy. Airplane over design factor, as Dr. Judy Wood would put it, is approximately one. In other words, the margin here is close to zero because why? They're built to be light, to carry their payload, and meet the stress of flying and landing and taking off. Now, here's a mundane fact to get you in the mood. Airlines worry about what your luggage weighs. I wonder why that is. You can't carry your lead batteries on board. At least they won't allow everybody. And you worry about the distribution of that load in flight. Now, here's, I'll give you some, that shows up good. Here's a small twin-engine aircraft that got in the way of a propeller in motion. Give you an idea of what the skin of these planes is like. Here's another propeller, action into the tail section. Here's a light plane landing in your living room. Didn't get that far. Come on, what's a building? Wood. Wood veneer. Here's that Tampa bank building crash that alleged, about 15-year-old admirer of ODL stole the plane, and he didn't get that far. Here's the tail, the horizontal stabilizer tail. It's hanging in there. And then here's another piece of the plane. But the building is going to chew this plane. Here's Corey Lytle, the New York Yankee pitcher, had a little accident on the east side of New York City, Manhattan. And here's the damage. Take a look. I was curious about, it doesn't show up that well, but if you look at the ceilings there, they aren't black. They aren't blackened or charcoal. I was interested in that. And then you can see, I suspect that this picture has enhanced the fire. This is from Fox News. I don't know why I don't trust them, but here's the aircraft, an SR-20, four-seater. You can see it's a little bitty thing. And here's debris below the impact zone.
Gordon, they also would have aviation
fuel gas, and have right, avgas in this light plane.
Yeah, really far more.
Yeah, true, but it didn't look like the damage. Well, yeah, I won't go into that detail, but the pictures didn't exactly match up. Here's more debris. You need debris below the impact zone to convince me there was a crash. Now we have bird strikes. birds impacting airplanes. I like that one. It looks so cool. It's almost like a put-up job, but yeah, that's a twin-engine commuter plane. Here, now we're talking more a major aircraft. Here's a bird strike on that airliner. Here's a couple of bird strikes, right? Got in a flock of geese or whatever. Now, here's parking lot accidents, right? Intersecting tail sections and horizontal stabilizers. They can't be going too fast, I figured, right? Here's a Continental Airlines airplane at Newark. It had a 5-mile-an-hour little accident with the terminal there. Yeah. No one was injured, by the way. Duck! Head for the cockpit door, guys. Here's one of these little baggage handler. These little baggage handler things are steel, though. They're going to rock you. Here's a 737 having a rough time landing, losing a wingtip. Whoop, I scraped the concrete. Something fell off. Here's one. This is my favorite, really. This is Little Rock, because I live near Little Rock, Arkansas. In 1999, this is an MD... It might be an 80, which, of course, was absorbed by Boeing, but this is a major airliner. There were 13 fatalities out of 143 aboard. What it did was encounter those steel cables there, which is part of the approach lighting. It slid off the runway one evening in bad weather. This fuselage broke in three big parts, and you can see it just is a complete wreck. Well, here's another. I love these parking lot accidents. Here's a 747. Whoops! I didn't clear the drainage ditch. I was on the, away from the hangar over the terminal, and I lost directional control here. Whoops! This plane is near being totaled. Well, I didn't total it, but it's going to cost you a lot of bucks to repair this little 5-mile-an-hour get-off. Okay, here's a 747 that took off in rain along off the wrong runway with the construction equipment on it. It's a 747. That plane is history and a lot of people with it. Here's a plane that slid off the runway in Burbank, California. That was the year 2000. Everybody wants to look at the gas prices. half of what they are today in California. And here's another picture. You can see that the left wing tip has been sliced off. I don't know if it was this pole, but there's some debris down here. Anyway, the plane starts coming apart pretty easily. Now here's the Aloha Airways event. Really?
Crash landing area right
from
the airport. I saw that airplane take off, come back, and
half of it is gone. Isn't that amazing? It's amazing. Yeah, metal fatigue caught up in this plane. Only one person died. A flight attendant was swept out, and they landed this thing safely. It lost a lot of longitudinal structural support there. Well, here's how they build planes. Let's look at them under construction. Coffin Man put up some of these pictures. Here's a 767 under construction. They're about to, let's get these parts together, the rear fuselage and the center section. I'm not sure, but it looks like a 757 to me, but that's Boeing. Or here you go. I call that, hollow aluminum tube. Okay, a big boy beer, the quart size, whatever, okay, run for me, run. There you go, commuter plane crash. That left wing, I don't know if you can see it, just drops right off.
hard landing.
Yeah.
Okay, here's an MD-80 under a test flight 1982 at Edwards Air Force Base in Southern California. Isn't that Southern California? Hard landing! Oh, well, they fixed that. Don't worry about getting on these planes anymore, okay? They fixed that. Yeah. Here's an Airbus 320. Yeah, the sound audio doesn't matter. It's going to try to fly through a couple trees here. Whoops! It's not climbing through those trees real good. Oh, no. Okay, there's your strength for airplanes. How strong is steel? That looks pretty strong to me. You know, what is that, a 10, 15-ton rock leaning against the edge of that truck bed? Yeah, sledgehammer, 9 pounds, and you put me on the top of that plane. And let me wail on it some. And then here's the, you've seen the towers, big beefy beams. Okay, issue, Newton's laws of motion. I've got them as stated by Sir Isaac Newton in 1687. And the one I want to focus on is the third. We know planers had a big go-around about this. What is Professor Newton say? To every action there is always opposed an equal reaction, or the mutual actions of two bodies upon each other are always equal and directed to contrary parts. Let's go further on Newton's third law. For every action there is an equal in size and opposite in direction reaction. So here's a classroom example to get us to get our minds around Newton's third law. An unfortunate bug strikes the road. An unfortunate bug strikes the windshield of a bus moving down the road. Quite obviously, this is a case of interaction between two objects, and therefore Newton's third law of motion, if true, applies. The bug hit the windshield, the windshield hit the bug. Which of the two forces is greater, the force on the bug or the force on the bus windshield? Volunteers? Race doesn't count, you can't. Well, my wife said the force on the bug is bigger.
Equal!
Each force is the same size for every action, da-da. The fact that the bug splatters only means that with its smaller mass and strength, it is less able to withstand the force resulting from the interaction. The glass was stronger in that event. So now, a speeding plane strikes the wall of a motionless tower. Obviously, this contact between objects is a case of Newton's third law of motion. An aluminum plane hits the steel building and a building hits the plane. Which of the two forces is greater, the force on the plane or the force on the building?
Equal.
Each force is the same. There's an equal and opposite reaction. It matters not which object is moving. Fact is, there's just going to be a collision in reality. Now, the fact that the beams and belts and everything breaks apart in the building, huh? You got to be kidding me. Welcome to Islamic Hoffman Jones O'Reilly 9/11 physics. Correction. An aluminum plane must crumple, shatter, and cannot leave an air-shaped silhouette of passage in a collision with mass quantities of structural steel beams because the plane, with its lower mass, density, and strength in the building, is a bug. It splatters. The impact, one of these engineers from UC Berkeley hired by FEMA to do a walkthrough and all that said the impact did nothing. He was closer to the truth than he wanted to really convey, I'm sure. The airplane did not do much damage. What airplane? Massiveness matters in collisions, given equal strength of the objects. So mass estimation, I do a little mass estimation here. and the plane is no more than 1% of the five floors. So to restate, in addition to vastly superior strength, the mass of the tower allegedly hit by an aluminum tube with engines and wings would be 100 times that of the plane. Okay, what if the mass of the plane were lower? Same answer. Bye-bye, beer can. What if the plane flew faster into the tower? Kinetic energy increases as the square of speed. So no, I'm not impressed. There's a little more answers than this, but the impact force would be greater, but it remains equal for both plane and tower at any speed. So the tower is immensely stronger, heavier, harder than the plane. Upshot, beer can is toast. Size matters. That's a Toyota Sequoia. No, that's the Land Cruiser. That's a big SUV. Here's the top picture shows you the frontal view of a VW Vanagon, which is a form of minibus, that ran into that 18-wheeler. Three people killed in this VW against this agricultural machinery. All debris remained in sight, by the way, in these automobile type crashes. Okay, now, as a last resort, what is the plane hugger going to do up against this? Well, they resort to the straw in a tree story. Yeah. My first question is, has this feat ever been produced in the lab? Dr. Stephen Earl Jones insists on experiments. None that I know of. Oh, much less twice within 17 minutes? Okay, well, let's go to another government agency, the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, that says, well, this oddity, an apparent exception to Newton's third law, can happen because, quote, or at least the implications of Newton's third law, intense winds can bend a tree or other objects, creating cracks in which debris, so a hay straw, becomes lodged because the tree straightens, before the tree straightens and the crack tightens shut again. So there's, I think, a satisfactory answer. Okay, a couple more points, and I'm chewing on Jason's time here. Plane fact number four, no official crash reports on the four incidents. What are they going to investigate? I just did the investigation, aided by Rosalie and others, dozens of us, researching the plane stories. Okay, why not use real planes is the last question. Well, George W. Bush, in a way, told us. He said to the United Nations on November 10th, 2001, let us never tolerate outrageous conspiracy theories concerning the attacks of September the 11th. What is he telling us? He's telling us the conspiracy was and is outrageous. It's outrageous in the obvious results, but it's also outrageous in terms of the methods, because they were going to slow the inevitable pursuers. They had years of planning, and they had control of the post-9/11 cover-up truth movement, I mean, not only the truth movement. Yeah. Well, the basic reason they wouldn't use planes can be described as KISS. There's too many things that could and would go wrong with real suicide planes. First of all, no planes eliminates this whole stand-down order deal. What kind of stand-down order do you need? Planes might miss the towers, crash in the wrong places, letting the wrong people see what's there. Planes might hit the towers, but they knew the physics of fragile planes crashing in the steel towers. This is not the effect they're looking for, right? They're not looking for a crumpled up piece of garbage aluminum falling off. Wherever real crashes occurred, outsiders would discover fake airliners and missing hijackers. And Muslims are required for their whole scheme. Now, the PSYOP goal made special effects vastly superior to real crashes. And Chilton puts this well. This isn't his way, but it's my way, and that is, what were they up to? They had to convince a traumatized America that hijacked airliners crashed and jet fuel fires caused Trade Center destruction. And you can't do that with a bunch of mangled beer can at the base. And furthermore, you needed to distract America from the real cause that Dr. Judy Wood was so much in her debt for leading us to the truth regarding what actually destroyed the World Trade Center. Okay, ace in the hole. Whatever glitches happen along the way, you got Fox News, CNN, CBS, all ready to fake stories and convince the gullible and cover up whatever went wrong. And the perps, here's what really gets me going. The scientists, the physical scientists and engineers, with certain notable exceptions, we can always count on the lapdogs of the scientific engineering establishment bought and paid for by the U.S. government. Right? It's career suicide to talk truth about these crashes, so-called crashes. And I can remember, to close, years ago, Milton Friedman, the famous economist who died recently, he was in a debate with John Kenneth Galbraith, and he was asked a question about the National Science Foundation, and Milton Friedman says he's against it. Primarily for the reason that the government and politics controls the physical science. Thank you for listening. One question. Yeah, we can take a question. Go ahead.
What's your source of the original live video that's
pulled off the web? Right, everything you saw was from the web. By the way, most of the virtually every crash was pre-2001. Which helps validate it, right? In that there wasn't any reason at that point, at least, to lie about what planes are like.
In the 1940s, the military bomber flew the fog by accident.
This should
be building. Do you know about debris falling to the bottom?
Yeah, you know, part of that fuselage and tail section is sticking out of the Empire State Building. One engine went all the way through the Empire State Building. And an engine, in principle, if it hit the floor correctly, should go all the way through a tower. Because, you know, floor to floor was enough space to allow an engine to go through. Now, there was a little bit of debris. There's so many things to talk about.
We've got a
C4
here.
Planted.
There seems to be just enough difference that
Judy and I set that up a couple of
times. Yeah, connection and all that.
Different
parts. Okay.
Yeah,
that's right.
The information that you've shown, I've seen many of the photographs on the show. And also,
can we move it on to my
question? More is to realize what you're putting out actually sort of scientifically opposed to the project that we've got in playing Science Ripple Effect. My question to you is if you have an aluminum aircraft traveling at 530 miles per hour hitting a tower, of course, you're disputing that the plane even hit the tower. You're saying that there was no plane. It's because of the fact that you say it simply melted into the building. So my question to Morgan is, what would you expect to see? Because we have a choice of either having the plane stick the nose in and then fall at 530 miles an hour, and we all realize it couldn't happen. It's deceleration, inertia, etc., etc. So what would you expect to have seen if the plane, if he had hit the ground?
Or if there would be a
picture
down the
line. Well, yeah, and also, thank you, brother, and also, there is no refuting that there was a flash scene from many different angles.
I get your question, Dave.
Okay.
First of all, I explained what I would expect to happen briefly,
in my coverage, and that is the plane is a complete wreck upon impact. My score was building 100, plane 2. In other words, the plane is going to gash the building, but most of it is not going to get inside, first of all. Remember that wall is 37% steel. Each exterior column is a 14-inch square. Then the spandrel belts is a good 1-inch of steel that it belts all around it at each floor, on and on. That's all I'm going to say about the strength of the building. Furthermore, as I explained, it ain't going to go in perpendicular and disappear. It's going to get rotated.
Time and time again, we see photographs after a tornado where a plate of straw pierces a telephone pole. Are you saying to me that you don't believe
Dave,
me?
Were you here? Rosalie.
Hi, and thanks, Bill. The witnesses aren't any better than me because this quote-unquote plane just happens to have landed on the site of an underground base. We've got
to why don't you come up here so you can speak, and we've got the this is being broadcast.
My contention, Rosalie, is that there was a flyby, I believe.
Yes, it might have. Yes. But at Shanksville, the quote-unquote plane landed, quote-unquote, at the site of an underground base. We've got the Google Earth stuff showing this parking lot that just disappears into nothingness. The people that are working there are working below ground, and they say that site belongs to a diamond company.
Thank you.
I just had a good time. I just want to make a very, very broad observation. There is a huge logical fallacy here. The logical fallacy is, if it is fake video, it tells you nothing, zero, about what happened to the towers. You could, if the media had put out images of Roadrunner hitting the towers, and it looks like the Roadrunner hitting the towers, we would all agree it would tell you absolutely zero and nothing about what actually happened to the towers. Huge logical fallacy. Number two, but if what Morgan Reynolds says is correct, what Dave Mark Clyde says cannot be correct. If what Martin Reynolds says is correct, and I don't believe it is, then all four different videos of the whatever allegedly impacted the second tower, of which we know wasn't quite 175, but whatever allegedly impacted the tower in the four separate videos, the four separate angles, all showing flashes that Dave R. Christ uses in in-plane sight anywhere for effect, all have to be safe.
Yes, thank you, Barbara. We agree on that. Yes, they're all fake. Now, Rosalie, I like her answer. I steal a lot of ideas, and this is one of them, and points out that there's no good reason to look at a Donald Duck cartoon as a way to figure out how many feathers are on a duck.
Let me identify. I'm Russ Gerst. I'm with the Scholars as well. I guess I'd like to take the Newton's third law analogy and reverse it, because basically what it says is no matter which object is moving, how hard will it hit it? Take Paul Bunyan, grab the World Trade Center and swing it at 500 miles an hour at a sitting still plane. What will happen to the plane?
Right.
Or gone. Or rough, just have it topple onto a plane. Boom. Flat.
Thank you.
The end of the story.
Yeah. Case proven. QED.
Right now there's going to be an argument between the in-plain sight video versus this evidence here. I don't really see a discrepancy. I don't see where one makes the other one not true. The fact is that those buildings had explosives in them for them to be able to fake the damage of the airplane. So the flashes are the explosions on the building that were pre-set up while this video plane hit the building. Mm-hmm. Those people, they have to conflict with each other. Both can be true.
My computer.
Well, I agree with her that the flash could be true, but the pod on the plane doesn't work at all.
Unless the video was a military plane.
No,
There was no plane crash.
I know there wasn't a plane, but the video could have been
the CGI plane.
We are inviting questions, but we want to get them recorded. Go ahead. If you got a question, go ahead. Yeah, we have to establish in the public's mind, because it really resonates with Fox News, Marvin Bush and Work Walker III were principals of security around here, and we also need to establish that they were running war games at the time of the attacks. And we need to, this would really resonate with the general population. We need to establish that. When you guys get on Fox News, you did a great job on putting Secretary Mineta on a permanent vacation. I remember that. And but we need to get Marvin. This would really resonate with the general population. What's the son of a billionaire family doing on security on these buildings? This building, this wall could have been compromised before a plane. Whatever it was something besides what your government told you. And why is there going to war?
The wall was saltine crackers, and they ran a real plane to those saltines.
Okay, I'm Peggy Carter, and I'm from New York City, and I'm part of New York City 9/11 Truth. I do a lot of questioning of people who, you know, supposedly saw the quote-unquote plane, and everybody knows maybe 100 or 1,000 people who saw it. Everyone knows someone who saw it, but if you try to find someone who actually saw it, that's not easy. In fact, you can't do it. It's very, very hard. And that's a whole other story in itself. Okay. But the main thing I'm going to say is about the straw issue, about the straw through a piece of solid wood or something like that. Basically, if you're in a tornado situation or you're in a high wind situation, you have a lot of wind pressure around this flexible object, which maybe could cause it to penetrate, because the force of the wind would be you would have the mass of that wind power behind the straw. And in this case, where you're showing an airplane penetrating a building, there's no air pressure around to keep the plane intact. In fact, a plane can't have its pressure, you know, it's trying to simulate pressure in order to keep everyone comfortable at a certain number of feet in the air, where it can't even simulate pressure that's the same as pressure at sea level, because it will break the plane. Okay, so the plane skin cannot handle any pressure, and there's certainly no air pressure around it equivalent to the force of hitting the building that's going to hold the plane together as it enters the building. So I think that this straw is a straw argument.
Yeah. I've had a request from the audience for the conversations in the back of the room. Please, if you could keep them just down. Dave Von Weiss once said, I think we've discovered a controversial issue with a conference on controversial issues.
Morgan, I've got a lot of respect for the work that you do. Okay, and you and I have... Okay. I mentioned yesterday, for those of you that were not here, obviously there are a lot of controversial and diametrically opposed issues here. And I go back to 3 years ago when In Plain Sight came out. Obviously it made quite an impression on a lot of people. And the following attacks on the internet and name-calling and finger-pointing and backstabbing and you're a pod person and all this stuff, the type of stuff, you know, obviously didn't stick. Just because of the fact that, as I said, I'm going to hold my ground until we can have all this information brought out in an open and honest forum. And I appreciate what Jim has done here. But I also, we'll get to that in a second. But the point here is I understand that in as much that there was such an effort to try to discredit the messenger, and that didn't work, it had to be an effort to discredit the message itself. And since In Plain Sight and so many of the other things that we've been involved with revolves around hard evidence, photographic video evidence, I realize that there's going to eventually be an attempt to attack that evidence and cast doubt on its credibility itself. And so now I see some of the issues about the video fakery, et cetera, which some of it, is, as I said yesterday, is compelling. But when I look at this and I say, okay, you're bringing up some great issues. Yes, an aluminum aircraft is a very flimsy thing. A bird hits it at a speed, you're going to put a hole in it. The aluminum by itself is not going to do damage. But when you've got a plane that has aluminum wings with tanks in them that are mostly filled, most of their fuel is still in the tank and in the fuselage, this object has inertia. This thing has weight to it. If I take an empty can, a Coca-Cola can, and throw it at this wall right now, yeah, the can will crump and fall to the floor. But if I take that can, and now we're dealing with the third issue, if that can is full of Coke, and I throw it on up, it will go through that wall. You can do the same thing with an egg. Somebody asked me, you know, is an egg going to just smash against the wall? You get that thing going fast enough, it'll put a hole in the wall.
No, it won't.
Yeah, I'm just saying.
It will bust because of Newton's third law.
So what you're saying is that there were no planes. I find your stand, you know, I'm sorry, I find this an insult. I find it an absolute hit. You know, I mean.
Hey,
case closed. When you're gonna, Paul, I'm deeply offended.
I am offended.
I don't care.
I'm offended.
Well, I don't know what's true.
What you perceive to be true. Maybe it's the evidence. Hang on, Mark.
That's okay.
Hang on, Mark. Did you want to make a comment?
I was an American female, Mark, and I just want to observe that, first of all, if you have a pilot with planes, my stomach postulated where it might not have been any people in it, it might have been like a drone. It could have been made of some different alloys. It wouldn't have the weight of the people in it. It might have been remote controlled and flown into the Trade Center. They might have had a special plane with a steel tip. It could have had some heavier alloys that the plane was made out of. This is just touching on that issue.
All allies are affected by
Newton's
third law.
I'm not going to argue that, but it is possible the plane was made out of something other than just aluminum. But beyond that, the important thing about this is always the who and the why. The how is important, how it was done. So remember the JFK assassination. They chased the bullets around the Ely Plaza forever. They said, there was a missing bullet, there was this, there was that. You have to keep mainly focused on who did this and why, not so much on how. How it was done to a degree can indicate who and why it was done. But the main focus is on who done it. Who done it, not how done it, who done it.
Thank you very much, Mark. We'll take a couple more comments.
My name is John Muncher, living in Minnesota, and I'm happy with all the controversy because I think the more controversy, the better, the more heat we can create, the more debate, the more discussion, the more they'll put us on Fox News, and the more the truth will eventually come out.
I agree, and I welcome this argument that Morgan's made. I find it interesting and coherent and worthy of discussion, and it absolutely should not be shut down or blackballed. However, I'm not 100% convinced, and let me give you two quick reasons. Number one, all kinds of video cameras either came out or could have come out, be pointing at the towers for that second tower hit. How could the perps control all the video? Number two, you take a fly swatter, a big, heavy steel fly swatter. We're going to do a little Newton's third law experiment, and we whack a fly who's flying through the air really hard. Is it possible that the fly might ooze through the cracks in the grid on the fly swatter? I don't know enough about physics to be sure.
From a legal perspective, we who try cases see this each and every day. And you've probably all heard the term, quote, expert witness, unquote, right? Well, you know, whatever side in a particular dispute there might be will almost always be able to find an expert with the right credentials, with the right training, and with the right background to offer up an opinion that has validity in the way that it sounds, backed by reason, that agrees exactly with the perspective or point of view of that side. And you talk about Newton's third law. Well, you know, there's always an equal and opposite expert to give you the opinion that is the opposite of the other side's expert. So there it is. It's in the nature of human perception. Yesterday we had what I thought was a very interesting exchange with actual witnesses to the event who sought to describe what they had smelled. Now, human perception is what? It's five senses and a synthetic sense.
Strongly held opinions, but the lack of chain of evidence. Somebody said, how could we have dummied up all the videos? If you look at the web, they're not that many. There are an awful lot of people whose stuff was supposedly taken from surrounding the Pentagon. It's not in public view. There's missing evidence. And the chain of evidence for all of this video is impeached. All of it. The stuff that people claim has been doctored and the stuff that people claim is original, if you don't have the name of the person and where they live that handed you the video, you don't have the chain of evidence. And so I think it is really important to look at the possibilities, but keep the distinction between what's possible and what we know for sure. As the lady from New York said, you can always find somebody who knows somebody who saw the planes, but finding somebody who saw them, much harder. Thanks.
Yes. As someone who pioneered research in this area, I'm going to give Rosalie Grable the last word at the moment.
Hi. For the fifth anniversary celebration, most of the networks uploaded their entire day's footage, which might have been cheesed, but if it was cheesed, it was cheesed in their advantage, not in ours. You can find these at webarchive.org. They are untouched by researcher hands, other than whoever uploaded them. We've used clips. People have these on their own VCRs that day. Millions of people turned on their VCRs and caught at least part of this. So we have a chain of custody right back to individuals sitting in front of their own TV sets saying, oh my God.
Thank you, Rosalie.